The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Maybe it's not Joe.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's not Joe. It's somebody else.
Are you ready to unleash your creative spirit now? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Art and Soul Radio, where today Catherine and Cheryl will inspire and empower you to embrace your creative potential. They'll take your calls, answer your questions, and explore creativity in lots of areas. And now, it's time to get more creative with Catherine and Cheryl.
Hello, this is Catherine and...
Cheryl, welcoming you to Art and Soul Radio to inspire...
encourage...
and empower your creative process.
And celebrate your creative spirit.
Woo! Woohoo! Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, Catherine, you're back from your big weekend.
Yeah. We just got back just a little while ago. I was really worried about getting home on time to do the show, but we were able to make it. It's an over 5-hour drive from Cannon Beach to where we live in Paulsbo. And it was a wonderful weekend. Eva, the owner of Dragonfire, is incredible. She just is so supportive of all the artists. There were two other artists there, too. And it was awesome, very awesome. I met a lot of wonderful people. Gloria's down there still in my robe of peace. And it was a wonderful thing that they do with the unveiling. I really like it. It's a great marketing tool, I think. And each gallery down there has a different time that they unveil work of a featured artist. And it was really great. I just felt so honored. It was wonderful.
Oh, wow. Well,
I sat there and I made peace bookmarks for, you know, for people to either purchase or for everybody who bought a piece of my artwork. They also received a peace bookmark, you know, as a present. So it was great. Wonderful experience.
Wonderful.
I love it there.
Why don't you mention real quickly again who Gloria is? Some of our listeners might
Gloria,
be new.
Okay.
And they...
Gloria is my 6-foot tall mannequin sculpture. She wears the woven clothes in metal of, I emboss the metal with the words of peace from 300 countries from around the world and cut up the metal. And so Gloria's clothing are all embossed with the words of peace from around the world. And she had cards in her hand to give out with peace messages. And it was really fun because I was able to include Cheryl and other people, family and friends, sent me their, and friends from Facebook too, sent me their personal messages of peace. And I made cards up with those. And so I just think the right people got the right message. So it was
oh,
great.
Terrific. Oh, how fun, Catherine. And you got to be by the ocean, too. I love the ocean.
Yes. The weather wasn't as sunny as we had hoped, but it was a really good turnout of people, though. Cannon Beach is just awesome. So, Cheryl, how was your week?
Yeah. Well, it's been busy. We are putting our house on the market Friday, so we're busy.
Oh,
having lived here for 31 years, you can imagine how much stuff we have.
It's easy to accumulate a lot of stuff, yes.
Yeah, and I'm making a trip, lots of trips to Goodwill, and the good side is downsizing feels terrific. It's like, yes. In fact, a couple friends have mentioned how they really like the feeling of moving into someplace that's totally empty and just having what you need, not all the clutter.
Yes.
We collect a lot of things.
It accumulates
very fast. right. And anyway, it's going to be a very busy week because starting next weekend, people will be coming through my house, not to my house. It's a different feeling. Totally different.
Okay, but you're on a new adventure, Cheryl.
A brand new adventure. Yes. So anyway, that's what I've been up to.
Wow.
Pardon?
Busy. Well, I was going to start mentioning to some of people who are new to Blog Talk Radio, we'd like to share some tips for your easy listening. We'd like to remind you our show is live as well as recorded for your leisurely listening later. And all of our shows can be listened to in three different ways: here on Blog Talk Radio, on our All Art and Soul Radio homepage, or you can subscribe via iTunes with every show delivered directly to your computer. Or you can download an MP3 of the show and listen on your iPod or MP3 player.
And if you'd like to ask a question via the phone, you can call 1-917-889-2163 at any time and press 1 to let Catherine know you have a question. She monitors the phone lines and I monitor the chat room. You may also ask questions in the chat room. To do this, you first need to register with Blog Talk Radio with a name and password. And you may chat during the live show and ask questions that way by clicking on the show title on our show page, and it'll take you to today's show. So just scroll down and the chat is under the description.
And let's see. Oh, okay. I think I just had a brain fart. Sorry. Forgive me. I'm tired with a busy weekend.
Yes.
So anyway, both of our guests on today's show are passionate about helping artists be more creative and successful in their art businesses. We'll talk with Gail McMeekin, coach and author of The 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Women, and Jo Packham, who will share her upcoming The Creative Connection Conference and her wonderful magazine celebrating artists and their spaces called Where Women Create.
Yes, indeed. Well, Gail is a career and creativity coach as well as an artist and author. And her specialty is empowering creative women to fulfill their creative potential. Her first book, The 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Women, was a huge success, and followed by The Power of Positive Choices, The Path to Creative Success, and her brand new Creativity Courage Cards. Gail's credentials include being a licensed psychotherapist, a career coach, and human resources consultant. Welcome, Gail.
Oh,
hello, Gail.
Hello. It's wonderful to be with the two of you today.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show. That's great.
We're so thrilled you're here. You know, I had to get out my 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Woman book and look at all my highlights in it, Gail. It was really, really fun to revisit it because, it's one of those I read it a while ago and put it on the shelf, and this spurred me to get it out. And I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about the gateways. I love the way you segmented the book into three gateways, and just a little bit about about women and creativity, because that's our theme this month. And I'm just wondering if that feels right to you. I'd love to know more about, for instance, in the first gateway, you talk about following your fascinations. And I'm wondering, what do you mean by fascinations?
Well, what's interesting about the first gateway, which is about engaging your creativity and following
yes.
fascinations is a big one there, is to really look at what is calling to you and what excites you. So often people get bogged down by life and they don't take any quiet space, particularly women, or,
mm-hmm.
They do everything for everyone else first. And mm-hmm. so they get
Definitely.
Out of touch with the fact that there are things they want to learn about, and they're fascinated. I mean, I had a client who was obsessed with gorillas for a while, and it took us, time to figure out what the metaphor was. But I sent her to the zoo, and what she got was that she didn't really want to write a regular book. She wanted to write an interactive script that would become a video. So we never know where these wild and crazy ideas are going to lead us. And
right.
So that's part of the first gateway, which is really tuning into your creative self, honoring that you are creative. I can't tell you how many women I've met over the last 10 years who say, oh, I can't read your book because I'm not creative. Everyone
right.
is creative. And this book gives them permission. Even though one of the things I talk about in that gateway is creative cycles, because sometimes we do hit a dry spell where we've had a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're just a little numbed out and nothing's happening, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That can happen.
Well, Gail, I'm just kind of curious because a lot of very creative people like myself often get pulled away by what they call bright, shiny objects. So how do you tell what a bright, shiny object is as opposed to something that's authentically coming from deep inside?
That's a really good question. And what we really need to do is set up an experiment. I'm always telling people that we need to acknowledge that you've got something going on there, and we need to create some kind of experience for you so you can test it out. Is it a bright, shiny object and just a fantasy? Or is it really something that you want to pursue and integrate into your work? And if we have an experience with it, we can usually figure that out. It may take a little time, but often we have them in our head, and what we need to do is actually get our hands in it or on it or go there or whatever we need to do. So we can figure it out.
Well, it might even lead to something else, too. It could be it's just kind of a, you know, something to lead you to the next step, too, that we might not have gone to.
Exactly. Sometimes something that is a bright, shiny object, we experience it, and it's a total bummer. we don't like it at all. But it, as they say, when you close one door, another door opens.
Yeah. Well, it is important, though, to find out what we don't want, isn't it? I mean, that opens, as you said, it opens the door for what we do want. And I find quite often I know what I don't want, but that so I can leave it behind. So maybe it's something we thought we wanted, but we really didn't, huh?
Oh, that's true. I just saw a woman actually this week who thought she wanted to have a home-based business, and she set it up and did all the right stuff, and she can't stand it. She needs to get out of the house. It's really not the right model for her. She misses being in an office. She misses getting dressed up. She misses chatter around the coffee machine and so forth. It's not the right choice for her. But now she knows exactly what she's looking for.
Yes.
That's true. Right.
So it was a gift.
Sometimes we have to go through those kind of experiences to find out what we really want.
Yeah, and sometimes they're expensive or costly in terms of time. And yet, so often the learning from that is incredible.
Definitely, definitely. I've had several of those type experiences, but I learned so much from each one. It's like, oh, okay, take away what I learned and then let it be okay to have probably made a choice that maybe caused a little more chaos in my life, but... It was okay at the time, so I hear you on that. Hey, Gail, before we get too far into the 12 secrets, could you share with our listeners what inspired you to write the book?
Well, it was really interesting. I got fascinated with creativity out of my fascination with work, which started from listening to parents, because I was a school counselor for many years, talk about how much they hated their job. So I went back to school to try to figure that one out. And then I was talking to all these people who were really bored with their jobs and had all these creative interests that they didn't pursue. So when I did some research and I did some training with George Prince, who founded Synectics here, and some other folks, what I noticed was that there were shows on PBS and there were books and so forth, and they would have 14 men and one woman. And it was usually Martha Graham. And I absolutely became outraged. I said, how are we supposed to have role models if we don't have any interesting women that are being profiled by the media and in books? So I wanted to write a book about modern-day women that were not crazy, were not manic-depressive, and, you know, hiding out in a closet or what have you, but women who lived in the real world, had relationships, and were successful. As an antidote, the fact that so many, and I think most of us as young girls, it's a little less so now, you know, had a sense that we weren't hearing about enough creative women as we were growing up. We were studying a lot of men, but women, you know, we had Betsy Ross who made the flag and, you know, a few other people, but women were missing. So I really wanted to create a portable mentor. I fought for that tagline. and something that could give people a whole range of creative women to learn from and experience. And that's what I hear from women all around the world. Wow, I didn't know there were women out there who were doing all these interesting things. I'm so inspired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you wrote the book. When did you write the book? I don't even remember, but boy, because it's still...
For a while, right.
The book is 10 years old, and I just signed a contract with my publisher to finally write a 12 Secrets journal to go with it, and they're going to reissue the book and
great idea.
Do a journal, and I'm also writing another book. I'm taking my Path to Creative Success book and turning it more into a strategy book. So that book is due August 1st, so that one will be first. And then they'll reissue 12 Secrets and the journal together.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to share, Gail, I slightly panicked because I couldn't find my copy. I keep all my books together, but for some reason I wasn't seeing it on the shelf, so I got online and checked the library. And do you know there was a waiting list? Then I really panicked. I thought, I can't even get it from the library. And then I found it.
Oh, good. Well, they have about green covers that a lot of people are able to identify.
Well, that says something. Yeah, but that says something about the book, 10 years, and there's still women, you know, there's a waiting list at the library. So that's pretty amazing.
Exactly.
Gail, can you tell our listeners what you mean by fascinations?
What I really mean by fascinations are things that really speak to you. They speak to your body, mind, and spirit somehow, and it may be something whimsical. It may be something that goes back to childhood, or it may be a color. It may be a quote that you hear. I often have people keep what I call an excitement list or a fascination list, particularly when they're at a little when they're a little lost or they're at a crossroads, to just write down everything for a couple of weeks that fascinates them. And then we'll look for the patterns and try to figure out what's asking to be created. So it's amazing. Oh. And again, everybody's different, which is what's so fascinating about working with creative people, because you never know what they're going to come up with next.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's never, ever boring, that's for sure. That's for sure. I do have to ask you real quick, how did you choose the women you interviewed? Because there's, 45 women you interviewed?
45 women, yes. I started with my bookshelf and women who had been what I call symbolic mentors, women that you read their books and maybe you hadn't met them, although I ended up meeting some of them too. And then one woman would refer another woman, or I would do some research and come up with somebody else. And I had a rule that, so I put together a questionnaire and I wrote them all a letter. And my rule was that I wasn't going to chase anybody. So even if somebody said, oh, I know her, I can definitely get you in with her. You know, my rule, you know, I wrote her a letter. One of the things that we're teaching women to do is protect their time and set boundaries and so forth. And if she wasn't called to be a mentor and be part of this project, I'm not chasing her. So everybody willingly volunteered. No one was coerced.
That's so really important. It's kind of like the gates were open and the flow was going.
Yeah, and people were really excited about it. And, for example, Barbara Scheer came to my house and stayed here for the weekend, and, you know, some women I was on the phone with for, you know, 5 hours. I had to keep putting new tapes in the tape recorder and so forth. So we had some pretty intense conversations. There was a lot to transcribe.
Wow.
Wow.
But it felt like work. I mean, I just felt so lucky. Every time I would have one of these interviews, I thought, what an incredible job this is.
Yes. Oh, wow. We feel that way about so many of the artists and the people like you that we meet on the show. It's like, wow, we get to meet all
what
these people. Mostly women, but some incredible men, too. So it's like, wow. We better move on to the second gateway. Second gateway is mastering your challenges as a creative woman.
Right. And one of the most important chapters here is the first one, which is about committing to self-focus. For so many women, And what's different about men than women, because I've had people say, why don't you write a book about creative women? There are plenty of creative men. And actually, I had a guy ask me that at a book signing. And I said to him, and he was a poet, and I said to him, when you're writing poetry, are you worried about whether or not your bathroom is clean? And he looked at me, and I said, say no more if you get it. He said, yeah. He said, my wife often won't paint until she's cleaned the house. And I said, it's very true. For so many women, they have to have the kids in order, the husband in order, the house in order, the yard in order, and so on and so forth, before they do their creative work. And what's different about women who are highly creative is that they understand that creativity goes through them as a creative vessel, so that they need to make their creativity a high priority, and therefore they need to make life choices that really support that. So it was really interesting that almost all the women, without exception, exercised regularly. They often went on retreats. They did go on vacation. They did sometimes go off to a hotel for 3 days to write their book. They understood that if they didn't make their creativity something that was a major part of their life, that it wasn't going to work as well. But they still honored their relationships. I mean, obviously, if you have a toddler who could eat a can of Comet, you know, you're not going to sit there and paint and not pay attention to it. So you've got to find your resources and develop a support system. And sometimes women need to help each other out. You know, I'll take care of everybody for you for 2 hours, and we'll switch off and do the same. So that's really important. And then also I talk a lot about internal saboteurs and external saboteurs and finding the right guides and the right partnerships and alliances. I interviewed the two Vera Bradley women, for example, who, you know, have had an incredible partnership. And I have a whole quiz in there about are you really hooked up with the right person or thinking about hooking up with the right person? And I've talked to a lot of people out of being partners, because often women get scared to do it themselves, so they grab the nearest person, and they may be too alike and so forth. And I also talk about dealing with rejections and roadblocks, because it comes with the territory. Whenever we're doing something novel and new and inventing something, there are going to be people out there who don't get it or don't appreciate it. And so often, you know, women will write a novel, send it to one agent. The agent will write back and say, oh, you're not famous enough or something like that. And they put it in the desk, and that's the end of it. And so we need to learn how to work with the right people and empower ourselves to recognize that, okay, we got one rejection, but there are, you know, 45 other agents on the list.
And, women seem to internalize rejection, whereas men seem more likely to externalize it. And I found that interesting. It's real interesting. Can you think of the biggest saboteur that women face, the biggest sabotage they face within? Is there one particular one?
One of the people I interviewed is Sid Ristone, who talks about the inner patriarch. And a lot of internalized the inner patriarch. We might have gotten it from our mothers or our grandmothers or just the culture at large. So that
seven generations before.
We can often feel like, you know, we don't deserve to have our creative time. And also fear is such a huge issue, which is one of the reasons why I just put together this deck of creativity courage cards, because for some women, the fear of what happens if I put my work out there and I get criticized. And I always tell people, if you put your work out there, you can be sure that you'll get criticized. You just have to accept that not everybody is going to tune into the same things that you tune into, and it's okay. But that's why, as women, we need to support each other and have like-minded souls around us who will help us say, get that manuscript out again, or, you know, call up the next gallery and get your art on exhibit, or make those postcards and pass them out.
Didn't you, when we talked with you earlier, didn't you talk about a mastermind also?
Yes, masterminds make a huge difference.
Right, and we talked about that last week with our guest last week, too, about masterminds and how it really helps to keep everybody going with their goals and passion. Right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Women can get very isolated, and again, those old patterns of, oh, this isn't making me any money yet, or, you know, I'm not as good as so-and-so, or I'm not sure if this is worthwhile or how well it will be received. All that internal glop
mm-hmm.
that's in there. Fear just kind of moves in and takes charge. And when we have a mastermind or a cheering squad, and I run these creativity courage groups to help women stay on track and be accountable and so forth, it makes a huge difference because it's hard to do it by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh, it is. It is. Well, I don't think we're going to get to talk much about the third gateway. My question, my main one about the third gateway, which was actualizing your creative results, was why does it seem difficult for artists to prosper? You know, here we are, all these gifted, talented women, and a lot of them are struggling.
Yes. Actually, I love the book that Carol Michaels wrote called How to Survive and Prosper as an Artist. And what I teach people is that, you know what, there are lawyers and accountants and all kinds of doctors and so forth out there, and some of them make a lot of money and some of them make no money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same for artists, that there are artists that are successful and there are artists that aren't. And the ones that are learned how to self-focus. They make their work a priority. They create their life around it, and
mm-hmm.
They learn the necessary business skills that they need to make work. And they have to be tough, and they have to have the courage to take a lot of positive risks. And they need coaches, they need inspiring people, they need guides and so forth to help them. But you can do it.
And they need to believe in themselves too, Gail. This last weekend, I interacted with a lot of artists at the show I had at Cannon Beach, and a lot of artists really maybe need to take another step and take that belief a little bit deeper. And a lot of them really weren't doing the marketing that they could be doing.
Oh, sure. And a lot of them don't know how to do it because, let's face it, if you went to art school, you were not...
They don't teach that.
Doing Excel spreadsheets on, your profit and loss statement. So that we have to learn those things and or delegate. You know, we have to hire virtual assistants and other people, and we have to learn how to delegate so that we can focus on our art. And when we do that, we're much more prosperous. It really does work.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, wow. Well, our time is winding up, but we do want to hear about your creativity cards, Gail. That was a collaborative process with your hubby, wasn't it?
Yes. My husband's a professional photographer, and we really wanted to do something together, and I wanted to create a deck of cards that people could use as affirmation cards on a daily basis with inspiring quotes around being courageous and brave and taking the right kinds of risks. And then I went through, we have this huge archive of shots, and I went through and selected pictures that had some element of risk or courage in them. So it was pretty interesting to do that. And then we put them together, and actually they've been selling like hotcakes, which has been very rewarding, and they really are beautiful. So it was a fantasy of mine about 5 years ago, and I'm delighted that it's finally a reality.
Oh, wow, and it's so much fun to collaborate, too. It's just that Catherine and I enjoy the collaboration. You know, you talked earlier about choosing partners. Well, we each kind of do our own thing, but then we also collaborate, and that's kind of the best of both worlds, isn't it, Catherine?
Well, I think so, yeah. You get a different perspective from each person that you do that
yes.
with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great, and it only benefits both of us. Right.
So it can be great because, you know, it really is true that two heads are usually better than one.
Mm-hmm.
And people see things differently. And actually, my husband and I are different. I'm highly you know, intuitive, and he's much more of a sensing person. So he'll often say to me, "But Gail, it doesn't, it's not measured right. It's not going to fit," or something like that. And I'm saying,
yeah.
"Oh, of course it'll fit. It'll be fantastic." And he's saying, "No, no, no. You know, he'll do that sensing part that a lot of us actually who are artistic don't do so well."
Right. Yeah, yeah. We have husbands that are quite different than us, too, don't we, Catherine?
More engineer-type minds, yes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Well, Gail, we want to thank you for joining us on the show today. And why don't you go ahead and share your website info, and the cards that you have on there are beautiful, so I can only imagine what the whole decks look like.
Oh, yes, we did put samples on the website. So the website is www.creativesuccess.com. And actually, there's a link to the cards on the homepage,
mm-hmm.
As well as books. And actually, we just redid the bookstore and set up an affiliate program and so forth. So we've got e-books partnered with real books and cards partnered with books and so forth. So there are all kinds of different combinations that we just posted.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for launching
thank
our
you,
month
Gail.
Of May, Women and Creativity. It was a perfect subject. It was just like, wow, yes. And we look forward to hearing more about your adventures with creativity in the future as your new workbook comes out. You'll have to send us an email so we can announce it to everybody.
Thank you so much. And it's been wonderful
to
spend time with you, and I look forward to doing it again sometime soon.
Great, Gail.
Thanks so much,
too.
Gail.
Thank
okay.
you.
All
right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, if you just joined us on Art and Soul Radio today, we're launching our May theme of Women and Creativity. Our next guest has not shown up on our switchboard, but if you're out there, Joe, please call in at 1-917-889-2163. And if you are listening to the show and you have a question for us and would like to call in, please, you can call 1-917-889-2163 and hit number 1 on your phone. And it'll bring up a hand in on the switchboard, so I know you were there. So, Cheryl, this is...
Yeah, Catherine, I tell you what. Why don't you chat for a few minutes about some of the artists you met this weekend? And I'm going to give Joel a quick call to see if there's a problem. You know, sometimes things happen. Yeah.
Okay, well...
Okay, I'll mute myself and give Joel a quick call.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, well, this last weekend was such an incredible time for me at Dragonfire Gallery in Cannon Beach. If you live in Oregon or want to go to a special place to vacation, Cannon Beach, Oregon is wonderful. The first time my husband and I went there, our daughter got married in Cannon Beach, and I'd never been there before. And we drove down into the city, the town, and I go, oh, this is my kind of town. If you are an artist and you like galleries and you like quaint places to be, Cannon Beach is great. We also had an opportunity, Fred and I took a break during my demonstrating and walked up to the park and got to see Maury's Fire. It's a sculpture that is made in the memory of Dragonfire's co-founder, Maury Rocket, and it was unveiled on March 20th. And it's on display outside at the park over by the bridge. And it was wonderful. We had interviewed Lindley, who was one of the creators of it, and also Ann Cavanaugh, who's a glass artist, helped to create the wonderful sculpture. It's huge. It's just wonderful. And then with the light coming through it, it's beautiful with fused glass. That was a treat. And I had an opportunity also. There was Chuck Gambert and Mandy Main also demonstrated, so I love meeting other artists. It's just a passion of mine to connect with other artists and hear their stories and find out, you know, what their passion is. And so it's just a great opportunity to be able to have that time with them. So I have a number here, and if you are Joe, please press number 1 and raise your hand so that I know that's you. So until I see the hand, I'll just keep talking. anyway, it was a joy to meet all these people that came through. I demonstrated making peace bookmarks with words of peace from around the world, and that was great fun to kind of do that. It was one of the least messy things that I could think of to demonstrate. When I work, I use up a huge table, and I make a mess when I do my work on the mill, and so it just seemed, it was kind of fun. And one thing, too, about demonstrating, I encourage artists to do that at galleries, because it's not about actually doing the work. It's about engaging people to talk to you about your art and for you to talk about with them about what they do also. So I encourage artists, spend that time, do that. Do not have your back to the people. It's important for them. If you're using what you're demonstrating to be able to talk to people, I think it's important not to have your back to them as you work, even though you may want them to see what you're doing. But angle yourself so that you can see them and they can see what you're doing, but also see you so they can talk with you. So it's a wonderful tool for marketing to be able to do that. Cheryl, are you there?
Yeah, I'm back. I sent an email and I left a phone message. And, you know, who knows?
We have a phone number, and I'm gonna click the phone number. Hello, this is Catherine and Cheryl. Is this Joe? Hello? 847-948. Is this Joe?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this is not Joe. This is Ray from Chicago.
Well, nice to meet you.
Well, Ray.
Thanks.
You have a question, Ray?
Oh, I didn't have a question.
our guest for the day has not shown up. For the rest of the show, has not shown up. So we are filling time. Would you like?
Gail, is Gail the one? Is she spoken yet? Or did I miss that?
You missed Gail. But you can listen to the archive show with Gail.
Okay.
You know, after. Later.
Well, I love Gail. She was my coach for a while, and I'm an artist and a writer, and so she did a great job with me, so I'm really happy. So,
okay. Well,
yeah,
terrific.
Can I talk for a minute since your other guest
sure.
Hasn't? Okay. I started doing something new. I use the arts for healing and self-discovery and growth, and I just started working. I am a sexual abuse survivor, and I've used the arts for healing, and I just started working on that and I as a speaking presentation kind of thing, and I came up with different activities that I'm using, and I just want to encourage people, if you know other people, it's such a great tool. The arts are wonderful on all levels, whether it's dance, photography, any of the arts, and what you're doing is great by highlighting this for a lot of people.
Well, thank you so much.
We saw
a need, just to explore creativity in many venues and celebrate it. Not just explore, but celebrate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my company in 1999, I started with Art and Soul Connections, so I get you.
Yeah, there's a lot of art and souls out there, but we got the radio bit.
You are lucky ladies. What can I say?
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a shame. Catherine, I have the chat room up, so I didn't see our next guest wasn't on, or we would have just kept Gail on for a little while if she could have stayed on. I don't know what her schedule's like. So, well, you know what? This is interesting. So what should we chat about?
I was just, you know, this weekend was really interesting. It was, to me, I was when you were calling Joe, I was telling our listeners that it's important to, as an artist, to demonstrate, and it's about engaging other people. It's not necessarily showing everything you do. It's a marketing tool, basically, to use to talk to people and engage them. And I think my sales were so good because I did that. You know, I told them what my process was. You know, and answer their questions. And I think it makes a difference. I really do. So,
I'm sure it does.
I encourage artists to do that. It's a great tool. So
yes,
marketing,
you know, and
it's huge.
Yeah, it takes energy to do that, but it's so well worth it because I've been to, fairs and shows where the artist just sits there kind of looking dejected and you don't even want to go into their booth. You know,
it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. And when people, artists do shows, outside shows and things like that, it's important to let people know that they're there, that you don't ignore them. I mean, don't not. It was interesting. While I was demonstrating, Fred went into some of the other galleries, and there was one gallery that in the past we'd always loved it. It has a lot of sculpture and castings and things like that. And he walked in, and the sales lady was like, she walked almost touching him, as she was trying to look at things. And it's like, that freaks customers out. It's the same thing with artists. You want people to know you're there, but give them some space too.
Give them some space to appreciate too. And exactly. I think anybody notice what they're drawn to. You can always notice if somebody comes in your booth, they're usually drawn to a particular piece or a particular section of your artwork, and just notice, you know. And if they're not looking at the originals, maybe their budget won't allow it, and they're looking at the cards, then go talk to them about your cards or your prints. And you know, every customer is to be treated the same, in my opinion. It doesn't matter whether they're buying cards or originals. You don't know who they know.
It's kind of like me demonstrating the bookmarks. To me, that's marketing. It's basically.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't have my website, I don't like to be out there with my website and my email and everything when I'm in a gallery, because I want the gallery owner to be there. So, we have our a hand is up. So
okay, let's see who that is. This is kind of like a surprise call day.
Hi, this
Hello?
Is Ray.
Hi, Ray.
Oh, hi, Ray.
I have a question. When you go into galleries and stuff, do you usually do it yourself, or do you try and have somebody do your marketing for you and things like that, or do you make arrangements yourself when you do this?
Okay, I'm not clear on what your question is.
Okay, I guess I've always struggled with when I take my artwork, so I never have hired anybody, but I've been thinking about hiring somebody to represent me. So I guess asking you, do you represent yourselves? Or do you hire
myself.
So you go market and try and get your things galleries?
I represent myself, and actually I had a conversation with somebody there. It's always about trial and error as far as finding a fit with you and your the right gallery. Not every gallery is right for every artist, and sometimes it takes a few months of being in a gallery to find out whether it's a really good fit or not. It was the gallery that set everything up, that asked all of us featured artists to demonstrate. And it was a really great thing. They do this show in Cannon Beach once a year. They have two big shows every year. But this was a wonderful thing, kind of celebrating springtime and unveiling the featured artist's work, which was a great, great marketing tool right there, because each gallery in town did this. They covered up the artwork, and at a certain time, so people go in town could go from one gallery to another gallery and see all this work that was being unveiled for the first time. I thought it was a great marketing tool. But as far as getting into galleries, you have a question about that, Ray? Because I am a professional artist and make a living at doing the artwork. So ask me a question.
Oh, that's a tough one.
And ask Cheryl.
Okay, I guess as a professional, do you usually just show in galleries, or do you go around the country and do the shows in the summer? Do you do all kind of art fairs? I guess I've never really done that, and I'm just curious, you know, what you've been doing.
Okay, well, I have in the past, I've been an artist for a long time, and I have done all the art fairs and things like that. That's so exhausting. And I would rather pay 50% to a good gallery to do the sales for me. And it's worth my time. It gives me more time to be in the studio that way. There's many ways to sell artwork, many, many ways. You don't have to go and do shows. You know, there's some people that don't want to be in galleries. They can sell their artwork online and promote it on like things like Etsy and things like that. There's other sites that's similar out there too. So there's many different ways to – oh, my gosh, there's Joe. Okay, there's many different ways to do this. So thanks, Ray, for being on the show. I'm going to put you on mute. So
hey, that's
can
fine.
So we'll with the rest of the time.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Well, let us introduce you, okay, real quick, and we'll just get you talking really fast, okay? Joe is the creator – and editor-in-chief of the popular magazine Where Women Create, inspiring workspaces of extraordinary women, and co-creator of the Creative Connection, an annual conference bringing together women who are passionate about being creative in their lives as artists, business owners, bloggers, and more. Welcome, Jo.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got 15 minutes.
Oh, my hell, I'm so sorry.
Well, we'll pack in as much as we can, okay?
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
Tell me what you want me to... Go ahead.
Jo,
what
inspired you to do the magazine?
What inspired the magazine was the book. We wrote the book about 6 years ago, and actually I have to say that it was Mary Engelbreit's magazine that inspired the book originally, because I used to love the section in her magazine about people's studios. You know, she would do a little two-page deal on everybody's artist studios, and I always thought that was so fun, and I wanted to see more, so I was publishing about 100 books a year at that time for Sterling Publishing, and I thought, well, let's do a whole book of that. So that's what started the magazine.
Great.
That's, you know, isn't it fun how we women get inspired by other women? It's inevitable sometimes.
It truly is. I mean, it's interesting because when I go on the photo shoots, I think of myself as pretty comfortable in my own skin. You know, I like what I like, and I have a specific way of decorating and doing things. But every single time I go on one of these photo shoots to one of these studios, I come home and I want to completely redecorate. And I no longer want to be a painter. I want to be a jeweler. And I no longer want gray hair. I want turquoise hair. And, I mean, it's just amazing to me because you go get lost in their space for a little while, and it's so inspiring. You think, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and I think it's that little bit of voyeurism that we all have. You know, some people want to look in people's living room windows to see what their couch looks like. And if you're creative at all, you want to look in their studio to see what it looks like and how they organize and where they work and those kinds of things.
Yes. Yes, I hear you, Jo. Well, I'm kind of curious. I'm thinking, do you think the best use of the time we have left would be talking about your conference, or did you have something else that you really, that's just drawing from your heart that you wanted to share? What's your preference here?
We're awfully excited about the conference, the Creative Connection event in Minneapolis from September 15th through the 18th. We have such an amazing list of teachers and VIPs and panelists. And the conference is designed so that if you're creative and all you want to be is creative, there are lots of classes to take from some of the top designers in the field. And what I like about it, too, is that they're all ages. Well, there's Kari Meng, who's more my age, and then you've got Halligan Norris, who works for Maximal Arts, and she's young, and she's a blogger on Design Sponge, so she's real hip and in the know. And you have almost all the categories covered. You have, you know, fabric and jewelry and journaling and soft sculpture and jewelry and all those different things. And then we have facet of the event that is for the women who might want to take their crafting or creativity to the next step, whether it be the first step. So you think, well, should I get an Etsy shop? Should I do this? Etsy is actually one of our platinum sponsors, and they will be there on the panel to teach people how to sell on Etsy. And then we have publishers who will be there. Stampington, of course, is our premier sponsor, and they will have, Kristen Alvarez will be there answering questions, and of course me, and then Paige Gilchrist from Lark Crafts, so that we have the book publishers there, so that if you want to become an author and not sell, you'll have people to ask those questions to. And then we have, are you still there?
Yes.
Hello?
Oh, yes, we're listening. We're listening.
Oh my God, you're so quiet.
I'm fascinated, Jo. It's like, whoa. You know, as you're talking about all this, Jo, I realize, you know, Catherine and I have both found that most creatives are multi faceted creatives. You know, we're noticing more and more how, you know, they either do several different types of art, although they might focus on one, or they're writing, or they're teaching. It's just amazing to me how many ways the creativity oozes out. That's what it does. You can't help it. It just oozes out.
I think so, too. And it's, I think that's why everybody always wants to take it to the next step. You know, because after you create for a while, you want to share it, and then you want to sell it, and then you want to turn it into a business, and then you want a bigger business. You know, it's always that taking to the next step, because people who are creative are very seldom happy focused on just one tiny aspect of creativity. It's why, you know, everybody has enough in their craft rooms, I think, to do 8 or different categories of art.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
They can be jewelers and journalists and scrapbookers and, you know,
right.
Add a little fabric to your pages. So if you wanted to make a quilt, you could, you know, those kinds of things. But, and then I think we all move into selling or making money at it in one way or another to justify buying more.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
so,
definitely.
You know, definitely. And that's why I think the creative connection is going to be so good, because it teaches you how to take the next step. It follows all of the aspects of the e-commerce world plus brick and mortar or the occasional sell. And then we have the handmade market, where we have 150 artisans who will actually be selling their wares. And the handmade market is sponsored by Etsy.
Oh, that's great.
So
wow.
That will be really nice.
As you were describing it, Joan, going, oh, God, I want to go.
I know it's like.
It's going to be so fun.
A lot of estrogen in the area, huh?
A lot, really. We actually, it's interesting, because everybody working and everybody teaching are on the panels are women. And Marcus Lever, who is the CEO of Lark Crafts, who is also a platinum sponsor, called me up and said, Lark Crafts wants to give scholarships to the event to women who can't afford to come, and I want to come and present the scholarships, or present the women that we gave the scholarships to, on the night of the big welcome dinner with the keynotes. We have Amy Butler and Mary Jane Butters, who are our keynote speakers, and they're so empowering, and their stories are so different and yet so alike.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it will be a wonderful evening. And then we have authors. We have about 24 authors with their books from all different publishers coming to sign before the keynote dinner, to sign their books so you can meet your favorite author and get her to autograph your book for you.
Wow.
So,
well, that's
I think
that's
it will...
a very brave male showing up with all these women.
I know. I said, Marcus, are you really sure? And he goes, absolutely, I'm going to be there.
Said, oh. Okay. Well, you know, you shared with us on an earlier call when we were just getting to know each other, Joe, that this is the first time you've ever done something like this, organizing events. I mean, this is quite an event.
It's huge. It's my kind of first time. I do really a lot of nonprofit work, so I've arranged a lot of nonprofit events. But my partner, Nancy Seriano, who was the editor-in-chief for Country Living, organized a Country Living Fair and Women Entrepreneurs for Country Living before she left Country Living. So she has lots of experience. And but it is big. We'll have 850 students. And the event meals will have about 650 at each meal. So it is a big event. It's not – there's a place, I think, in this creative world of ours that the smaller events like Silver Bella and Petticoats and Parasols and Art and Soul, all of these, there's a place for the smaller events. And then there's a place for the really big ones where you can connect with – people and take you to the next step a little more than just a learning, fun shopping weekend with the girls. I mean, we're really trying to help women reach out and see what their potential is and if that's what they really want. I mean, sometimes you think it's what you want, but it really isn't what you want, you know?
Yeah.
We
talked about that earlier with Gail, yes. What do we really want?
I want. And the sad thing about that question is you don't usually know until you're up to your nose in it.
Yeah.
You know, and, it, and then it's, okay, so my number one question is, I've been doing this for 33 years, and my number one question is, will I really know when it's time to quit? Or are you so afraid that you're going to quit right before you reach the finish line? Because it's not easy. It's not easy selling yourself. These artists, it's a real challenge to promote yourself with something as personal as artwork, because it's like somebody saying, I really hate the way you're dressed, you know. It's not
it is true.
Right. If you're a lawyer or an accountant, I mean, your numbers are either right or wrong. I mean, that's what it is. But when you're an artist, it's so personal and such you know, people who like it, there's no right or wrong. I mean, you know, everybody's art is art. It's just whether you like it or you don't like it.
Exactly.
And it's a tough road to hoe. It's not easy, and it's a, I think if I would guess, I think I can safely say that if 95% of the artists divided the hours they work by the money they actually make, they're definitely up to about $3 an hour if they're really lucky.
I know. You hit it right on the nose, Joe. You really did. It's so true. It's really true.
It is true.
But we do because it's our passion. Right?
It's our passion. That's what. I was at lunch today, sitting at lunch today, and I said, you know what? For the first time in my life, please, please, please let me be smart instead of passionate. I mean, please let me make a really good business decision that will actually, like, be my retirement or something like that, instead of thinking, oh, my gosh, this is such a great idea. I'll just try this one more thing.
Oh, boy, are you singing my song, Joe? It's like,
yeah,
oh,
me too.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? You said something earlier, and creatives never stop creating. I mean, we're probably going to be having images of things in our heads on our deathbed, you know. It's like,
oh, there's no doubt in my mind that I have to pick out my casket before I die, because I'm sure it's got to be changed. I'm sure I don't want that standard pink satin tufted stuff that goes in those caskets. So, and how can I hand paint the outside by my favorite artist if I'm already in it? So I have to get it all taken care of before I go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
So I do think, you know, and it's, are you still there?
Yeah, we're here. Yeah.
Oh, good. I heard a buzz. Yeah.
We're
sorry,
fun.
I just heard this big buzz. Because I think, and that's what's the problem, that is, though, I think the one major issue that all creative women face is staying focused.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just drifting in 1,000 different directions, because you have so many good ideas, and one thing leads to another, and before you know it, you have too many items to put in your line, you know, you have too many books to produce, you're up all night, you know, you thought you could produce 600 of something that didn't sound like very many at the time, and all of a sudden it's really, really a big number, you know, so it's just, they have no sense of their own limitations.
It's very true.
It's so true.
I've been in that place where I've been cutting back on my designs and focusing on the ones that have the best potential for selling. And
it's so hard to know. Yeah,
it is hard
to know, because I can, even with books, we had 30 years ago when we did small books, these little soft-bound cross-stitch books, we used to do 4 at a time, and we did this one. And I hated it. I thought it was horrible. And I pulled it back and said, we're not going to publish this. I think it's so ugly. Well, of course, when we finally published it, it was the number one best-selling book we ever did. You know, and you never can tell what it's like. Okay, I'm sure this is a hit. I'm sure this is it. This is the one, right?
Yep.
And there's just you with 4 dozen on your shelf thinking, where is everybody?
You know, Joe, I want to talk with you again. I just love your energy, and we have like one
minute. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what, you guys? My organizational skills are so bad. You need to, like, call me up 5 minutes before and say, okay, Joe, now remember us?
Where are you?
I actually have this on 5 different lists. I have it everywhere so that I wouldn't forget. And there you go.
Well, next time we'll know that.
Sorry.
We'll put a little sticky call Joe.
Yeah. Please.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
I'm so sorry, but thank you.
And
they can find
you
at Where Women Create is your website, correct? And they can get all the information for the conference on there. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Sarah, you want to quickly tell? We've got 51
seconds. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining. And next week we have Tammy Vitale. And she's going to discuss her Divine Feminine series, and also Satya Winkleman, creative arts therapist and author of Through the Fire, A Woman's Guide to Transformation, and we'll be posting information on them in our blog this week.
Yes. So we invite you to tune in, tell your friends about Art and Soul Radio.
And remember to let your unique, creative brilliance shine
and
just say yes.
To
your creative
spirit. Woohoo!
Thanks.
Thank
bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a terrific week.
Thank you for joining Art and Soul Radio. To contact Catherine and Cheryl, you're invited to visit www.artandsoulsite.com. That's www.artandsoulsite.com. They look forward to hearing from you, and remember, you are abundantly creative today and every day.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.